2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, all the way to 14. The Bible says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to open up your word, Lord. Thankful for the power it has every time it is preached, it is taught, it is open to change our lives, to work in a mighty way. Lord, I pray that you'll work in my heart tonight. As I present your word, help me present it clearly, accurately. Lord, help our hearts to be stirred into action. Lord, I pray that everything we say and do, honor, glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to bring a message tonight entitled, "Loyalty Despite Hardship." Loyalty Despite Hardship. Many of you would probably have heard of one of the all-time great baseball players, Babe Ruth. He recorded 714 home runs and had the record for a while until Hank Aaron came along. And he was the idol of many sports fans, but as time took its toll, his popularity started to wane a little bit. Towards the end of his career, he was actually playing in Cincinnati, and he was kind of on his way out, and he just began to falter. The stats from that game was he struck out many times and allowed many mishaps out in the field and allowed the Reds, which I'm a Reds fan, so this is good to hear, but scored 5 runs in 1 inning, although I wasn't a Reds fan back then. Anyways, so Babe is kind of struggling here. And on his way back to the dugout, his chin down, felt rejected, rose from the stands, was an enormous chant and cheer of boos and catcalls. Some of the fans actually shook their fist at their beloved idol, Babe Ruth. Well, out of the crowd jumped a little boy. Over the railing with tears streaming down his cheeks, he ran out to the great athlete. Unashamedly, he flung his arms around Babe's legs and held on tightly. Babe Ruth scooped him up, hugged him, and set him down again, patting him gently on the head. He took his hand, and the two of them walked off the field together. Now, this little kid was loyal despite the hardship that Babe Ruth had found toward the end of his career. Everybody else had kind of moved on, but this little boy was loyal despite even the hardship that Babe Ruth felt in his career. Well, here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul is getting towards the end of his ministry and knows that he will soon be off the scene. The start of chapter 1, Paul is instructing Timothy on how to live for God, how to minister, and how to carry on the work that Paul has started. It starts with a typical Pauline introduction, introducing himself and thanking those for praying and for the prayers he had for Timothy. And then in verse 5, Paul brings up to remembrance the testimony of Timothy's grandmother and mother, and also brings up the faith that they had. And then in verse 6, which we just started reading, which will start our text for the night, Paul gives a call, an appeal to Timothy to be loyal to the ministry and the gospel despite hardships that may and will come. So just like Timothy, the challenge to us tonight is to be loyal to the gospel no matter what may come. You may know, maybe you faced it, maybe you will face it, that hardships will come in your life. As you just take the time to look around and see what is proclaimed on the media, what is shown out there is against God, against the Word of God. And yet, the call here for Timothy and the call to us is to stay loyal to the Word of God no matter what. Maybe you're going through hardship right now, or maybe your faith is even be tested, or maybe it is going to be tested soon. We'll see tonight how we have an obligation to live for the good news of the gospel. So you may ask, what is this call? Or at least I've asked this text, what is this call to be loyal despite hardship? How can we stay loyal? And are you and I willing to stay loyal to the gospel no matter what it cost? Well, in order to be loyal to the gospel, despite hardship, we must answer three calls in this passage. The first one is found in verse 6 and 7, and this is a call for courage. The Bible says again, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by putting on of my hands. And in this verse, Paul is telling Timothy to kindle or rekindle, set to fire the gift of God, the faith that he has in Christ Jesus. Paul was not saying here that Timothy had lost his faith or that his fire for God was completely out, but that he wanted to rekindle or spark again this dying flame for it to be rejuvenated. Why then could Timothy rekindle, or how could he rekindle this gift of God? How could he have this courage? Well, verse 7 gives us kind of the how of this courage. Maybe a familiar verse to some of you. Verse 7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has not given us a spirit that is timid, a spirit that should be someone who is a coward or a spirit of terror, but he has given us a spirit, or he's given us, as the verse says, of power, of boldness, of authority. Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So speaking of that power and of love, love for God and love for the souls of man, and a sound mind, the ability to have self-control and self-discipline. There was a test conducted at a university with 10 students were placed in a room. And on the board was three lines of different lengths. And the teacher there was saying, okay, raise your hand when I point to the line that is the longest. Lo and behold, 9 of the students were told to raise their hand when the teacher pointed at the second to the longest line, and one of the students kind of was the guinea pig. And after they had done this multiple times, they said 75% of the time the students would raise their hand with everyone else. It was clear as day that one line was longer than the rest. But with the pressure of everyone else, 75% of the time, the student that was the oddball out, so to speak, would raise their hand with the rest. Why is that? Well, it lacked courage to stand for what was right. So often we lack courage to stand up for the Word of God. We become disloyal because we have lost our fire and our passion that we once had. But it is not by your power, it's not by my power, but by God's power that we can stay loyal to the gospel. When we were at camp this last week, almost 2 weeks ago now, one of the phrases that stuck out to me that the evangelist said was, I forget even what the title of the message was, but he said, when the Word of God is preached, have you gotten so far away from God that it has no effect to your life? You know, he brought up salvation. We'll see that in a second, the passage. He brought up that Jesus Christ died for you, that he loves you, that he's given you eternal life. Do you hear that? And it kind of is like, okay, yeah, I've heard that. All right, what else? You know, when's game time? You know, I'm hungry. When are we going to eat? And the idea is that lack of courage. If we're going to be loyal to the Word of God, if we're going to be loyal to Christ, we have to have courage, not in ourselves, but in the power and the love and the sound mind that God gives us. So what is this call of courage? Well, it's a call to rekindle the work that God has done in our lives, because he has the power to carry us and give us the tasks so where we can be loyal and to minister and spread the gospel. God has given us the gift of the Spirit to minister, which gives us the necessary power, love, and self-control to carry out our ministry. So are you being courageous? Are you loyal to the gospel by plugging into the power, love, and self-control that comes from God? All right, maybe every time when I think of that word loyal, I think of a sports team, you know, and you know who's loyal when it gets a tough time, right? You know, things aren't going well. Maybe that person got benched, or maybe you've lost, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 games in a row. And you can really tell who the loyal ones are. I coach soccer over at Franklin Central, and it seems like every year we have that one guy that is just, you know what, halfway through the season, he's done. And he wasn't loyal. How did that help us at all? It didn't. It hurt our team. And yet we have such a higher calling as a Christian to stay loyal to the Word of God. Now, if we had a raise of hands out here and I said, do you think you're loyal, or do you want to be loyal? We're like, oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, no problem. But are we courageous? Are we plugging into the power of God that only we can get from Him to stand up for what is right? Are we at our job site when it takes a chance to stand up for God and the truth? Do we take that stand? When we're out and about and we have the opportunity to share Jesus Christ and to make a difference, even with pressure coming, do we take that call and be courageous? So the first way we are loyal despite hardship is we follow the call of courage. And the second call we have here is verses 8 through 12. And this is a call to suffer, or a call to be ready to suffer. The next four verses here, verses 8 through 12, is actually one big sentence. Paul is now getting into the suffering that will come for the gospel's sake. Twice, he's encouraging and calling Timothy not to be ashamed of the Lord. We'll get to that in a second. Then he proceeds to explain what the gospel is and why we can be loyal to it despite suffering. Verse 8 says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God." Verse 8 is this call to be loyal, specifically here to what Paul has stood for, and more importantly, for the gospel. Paul is asking Timothy, asking us to join in suffering for the gospel. Don't avoid humiliation that is generated by association with Christ or with what Paul here was standing for. Don't avoid, but join in. Be a part of this suffering, this humiliation. But the difference between this suffering as opposed to other sufferings is what we are suffering for. And that is for the gospel. The power of God can produce a strength that bears suffering. There's two imperatives here that entreat us or challenge us to be loyal to God, to our Christian friends, and our God-given opportunities as we serve Him. The first one is in verse 9 and 10, the first motivation. This motivation is that the truth of the gospel would promote a readiness to endure hardship for Jesus. Let's read again, verses 9 and 10. I love these verses here. Picking up from verse 8, it says, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." So verse 9 answers the question, why take part in suffering? Well, the short answer is because of the gospel, because of the good news of Jesus Christ. God has saved us and given us a holy calling. The gospel provides access to this divine power. The process of salvation is a call from God to share in His kingdom. And the purpose of salvation is that every believer produce a life of obedience and holiness to God instead of self. Then verse 9 answers the question, why partake in the suffering? Then verse 10 contains the gospel content. It explains the power of the gospel. It explains the work of the gospel, which was made apparent when Christ appeared and abolished death and brought life. Even though there is still death for the Christian, it's not the end, but the beginning of eternity. So be steadfast. Rekindle your gift. Take your part in the suffering, for we are already among those who have overcome death through Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but when you're on a sports team, I guess, or a job or whatever, you have a goal or something that helps you be loyal, right? You've given a task or say, okay, here's the end result or here's why. You know, for our soccer team, there's going to be moments when the guys have to run and sweat and they're going to hate some of the things that will go on. Well, why? Because, all right, I can endure this because there's a goal, there's a reason, there's a benefit for it. You know, we'll be prepared for our game. We'll be able to score a goal, we'll be able to win a game, or in life, the job, whatever it is. And that's the idea of here is when we are loyal despite hardship and our call is to endure the suffering, we have the greatest opportunity given to us to suffer because of the gospel. Nobody likes to suffer for something that's pointless, right? You know, you get that task at your job, and it's like, wow, really? I had to do this one? Okay, I hurry up, get it done, and move on to something else. No one likes to be loyal or has an easy time or wants to be loyal to something that doesn't have any foundation or any worth. And yet the gospel is the greatest thing to live for and to suffer for. I'm always reminded in the New Testament when the disciples went out, God sent them out and they preached and they were, most of them were martyred and they suffered. They stood back and they said, wow, isn't it incredible that we are worthy enough to suffer for the gospel's sake, to suffer for Christ, that he would count us worthy enough to suffer for him. And so often I find myself, you know, I hate the conflict and, you know, well, maybe if I can slip in something about God here or, man, you know, I hope I don't ever have to suffer, you know, like some people do in the Middle East or whatever, and I'm missing out on this call to be loyal despite hardship. I'm also reminded, if you're here at the missions conference a couple years ago, Wad Haddad, who serves in Egypt and Jordan and Syria, and he shared that video, and they were kind of black and white pictures because they couldn't even show the people's faces. And when they're asking for prayer, I don't know if you remember that, when they're asking for prayer, they were not asking for prayer to God remove the persecution, but that they would stay faithful in spite of the persecution. It blew my mind. It's like, wow, I'd be like, Lord, you know, my neighbor, you know, kind of looked at me funny and, you know, slammed the door in my face, or someone made fun of me because I went to church, you know, please help me, you know, help me to endure. Okay, and I'm not making light of those things because they can hurt. And yet we see these people that are saying, Lord, don't remove the persecution because it's building your church, it's building me, but help me to be faithful, loyal, despite that hardship. And this is the call. And what a great purpose, what a great foundation we have to be faithful for the gospel's sake. Maybe you enduring something at work because you stand up for Jesus Christ will be the light for someone to see, wow, man, they had potential to lose their job, and yet they stood up for Christ. I want to know that God. I want to know that gospel. And the list and list could go on. Then verse 11 and 12 give us the second motivation. Not only the motivation that to endure the suffering is because the truth of the gospel will promote readiness to endure hardship, but the second motivation was Paul's own life that provided an example for Timothy and for us to imitate. In verse 11, Paul is sharing his living, his livelihood, and his proclamation of the gospel. His authority was in the gospel, not in who he was or even in his apostleship. Because of the gospel and the work of Christ, he was appointed to serve and minister. Wherefore, I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. Verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Once again, repeats that. Then some of you may know that song, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. Without a doubt, he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul didn't have this false hope that, wow, I hope, you know, if I'm loyal to this, it'll work out at the end and everything will be okay. And wow, let's just see what happens. No, he said, I am persuaded. I'm without a doubt that he will keep until the end, and committed unto him against that day. I know it. I'm for sure. I have assurance in this. And when you have that as your foundation, it's like, come on, bring it on, you know, so to speak, with that. And then verse 12, he concludes with that call to suffering, as we just read there. He finds his role as a messenger of the gospel. Paul just explained in verses 8 and 10 the gospel, and now he says, because of the gospel and what it does, I can suffer for it. Paul was not worried because he knew his faith, what his faith was in, and was committed to God, and God would keep it. Someone asked C.S. Lewis, "Why do the righteous suffer?" "Why not?" he replied. "They're the ones who can take it." Helen Keller said, "Although the world is full of suffering, it is also full of the overcoming of it." Martin Luther said, "If we consider the greatness and the glory of life we shall have when we have risen from the dead, it would not be difficult at all for us to hear the concerns of this world. If I believe the word, I shall on the last day, after the sentence has been pronounced, not only gladly have suffered ordinary temptations, insults, and imprisonments, but I shall also say, 'Oh, that I did not throw myself under the feet of all the godless for the sake of the great glory which I now see revealed, which has come to me through the merit of Christ.'" Romans 8:18 says, "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." We can accept this call of suffering because it is a worthy cause, and we have the power of God working in us. Don't trade temporal ease by not standing up for the gospel and proclaiming its message. Christ did all for us. Can we not suffer a little for him? And then finally, verses 13 through 14, not only we have a call to courage, how we are loyal despite hardship, and a call to suffer, the call to suffering. Then in verses 13 and 14, we have the call to faithfulness. "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." Verses 13 and 14 here conclude Paul's call to loyalty, and it is a call to faithfulness. "Keep as the pattern of sound teaching which I have taught you, model faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." Then he tells them, be faithful to the message. Convey the message with faith and love which is in Jesus Christ. We can be faithful because, verse 14, of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us as a believer. He says, "Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you, this sound teaching, and take this truth and all that comes with it, and let it strengthen you, and handle it, and be assured of it, and let the Holy Spirit give you the power to provide the strength to be faithful." In the stormy night in Birmingham, England, Hudson Taylor was to speak at a meeting at Severn Street Schoolroom, at the Severn Street Schoolroom. His hostess assured him that nobody would attend on such a stormy night, but Taylor insisted on going. "I must go, even if there is no one but the doorkeeper." Less than a dozen people showed up, but the Lord was at work at the service. Half of those present either became missionaries or had children that became missionaries, and the rest were faithful supporters of the China Inland Mission for the years to come. The call to faithfulness can be accomplished if we let the Holy Spirit work in our life. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Be faithful, whether it's a small task or whether it's a big task. Be faithful. Don't let go of and give up on the gospel. Are you faithful? Can you be counted on? I know no one even likes at a job or when you give a task and you are hoping someone's there and you're counting on them and the time comes and they're not there. And you're like, "Where are you? I needed you. I needed you at that moment. We couldn't make it without you. Where are you again?" You call them on the phone, and then you have to do it, and then frustration comes. And yet, what a high calling we have to be faithful to the Word of God. Man, what this world needs, it needs a lot of things, but it needs Christians to stay faithful to God's Word. With all the turmoil, with everything that's going on, I believe a lot of times why those things happen is because Christians aren't faithful to the Word of God. And this is as much a challenge to me as to you. I know there's times in my life when I'm not faithful. And I can give up, I can quit, I cannot be loyal. I can get to that fear. God, I'm not given a spirit of fear, so I can get into that fear of myself, of others, and I can want to quit and not be loyal. And yet I can come to God, and He can give me the power to be faithful. Maybe today there's someone here that cannot accept this call of loyalty, or live it out because they've never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's where it all starts. Where loyalty starts, where faithfulness starts, is realizing that you're a sinner and that Jesus Christ loved you so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross for your sins. Verses 8 and 9 plainly gives the gospel, what Jesus Christ did for you. The verse even says, we can't earn it. We can't work our way to heaven. But according to the Bible, according to His Word, Jesus Christ came, He died on the cross, He rose again to give us eternal life. So if you're not for sure if you die tonight you'd go to heaven, then your loyalty starts with giving your life to Jesus Christ, to Him to save you. But if you are a Christian tonight, you have the privilege and also the obligation to live a loyal life. You might say this calling is hard, or it's inconvenient, or I want to live for God, but I don't want all that comes with it. Let me give you a few verses to help you. Matthew 5:10 says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jeremiah 32:27 says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? 1 Peter 3:14 says, but if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. 1 Peter 4, verse 14 says, if ye be reproach for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. So my question to you is, have you accepted the call to be loyal to God and the gospel, even through hardship? It's a worthy calling. It's a call to courage. It's a call to be ready to suffer. And it's a call to faithfulness. God would not give us a call that He knew we could not handle. We do not have to do this on our own. Will you be loyal to God even when it's not easy or convenient? Will you take a stand for Christ and proclaim the message of salvation? Will you not waver and hold fast the truth? This is a worthy calling and a worthy ministry. We can be loyal to something that has power and works and produces change and blessing. So be loyal to Jesus Christ no matter what. Let's pray.